trying to decide.
Oh, well, just a little political music here for you. Probably didn't realize that was such a political song, did you? Did you ever have to make up your mind? That's right. Hey, I am Ann Eller here. We just had Tom Ervin on, and, of course, he has thrown his support to Senator Vincent Shaheen. A lot of question whether he's done the right thing as far as his purpose in wanting to defeat Governor Haley, but you know, we don't really have too long to wait, do we? Tuesday is Election Day, and I certainly hope you will get out there and vote. That's right. Vote your conscience, vote your opinion, but please, please vote. This election is important not only on the state level, but on the federal level too. So don't sit it out just because your candidate isn't there. Don't sit it out. Make sure you are involved. Because you know what? That way, when you want to complain, you can. All right. Hey, I am Ann Eller. Let's see. We are going to have Molly Spearman. She is the Republican candidate to the superintendent for the superintendent of education. She is going to be on with us in just a second. So, she's actually from this area. Many of you may know her, but she wanted to come on and say a few words, so we're going to let her do that and find out how the campaign's been going for her. So we'll be having that in just a second. A couple of things maybe we can talk about while we have a second here. What is going on tonight? Let's see. What is going on tonight? Well, here's one for you. Saturday, November 8th. They're going to have the complete South Carolina Concealed Personal Protection course taught by local Fed-certified instructor. Cost includes class and personal training, fingerprinting, use of a firearm, copies, and assembled application package. You are to email dts@reagan.com. Cost is $50 to get your personal protection your concealed weapons personal protection. So I do believe we must have, I heard it in my ear, we must have Molly Spearman on the line with us. How you doing today, Molly?
I'm doing great, Ann. Hope you're well, and it's great to speak with you and all good friends up in the Greenwood area.
Oh, that's right. We just played, what was it, the Loving Spoonfuls. Did you ever have to make up your mind?
Yep, I heard that. I hope folks have got their mind made up, but if they don't, maybe we can convince them over the next few minutes.
Well, you know, I think this election sure has taken some twists and turns here, and we were just talking to Tom Ervin, who has now, of course, as you know, thrown his support to Vincent Shaheen, so...
Right.
Talk about something that was a newsbreaker there.
That's right.
Absolutely. So how has your campaign been going?
Well, going really well. I'm actually in the car right now. I've been in Pickens today and headed to Myrtle Beach. So I'm crisscrossing the state, enjoying seeing everybody. A lot of work, but a lot of fun, and glad it's kind of winding down to see what's going to happen. But I feel real good. Just have a lot of supporters. Just hope that they're going to get out and vote on Tuesday and not take it for granted that we might win, but just be sure to get out and vote and exercise your right.
I think that is a big problem that could happen because so many people are, what shall we say, disgusted with the whole thing that they just may pass it up, and that'll be like voting for another candidate.
That's right. That's right. And it is a wonderful privilege that we have to vote, but you know, I've encouraged folks that they, if they're not sure if they're going to be in town on Tuesday, they can go up to the election office and vote. If they think that they might be out of town, of course, the elderly can go and vote early. And there are a lot of folks who call for absentee ballots, but I think it's late now to call for an absentee ballot, but you certainly can go by your election office and vote early.
You certainly can. And, you know, one of the other things we ought to tell people that, you know, if you can get in a car, you can do day of the election, drive up. You don't even have to get out of your car.
That's right. They come out and bring the ballot to you. It's very easy. So don't let that be an excuse.
Yeah, that's true. So what have you found out there that have been the key issues that, what shall we say, that are fighting words that people want to have resolved in the Superintendent of Education's office?
Well, of course, back during the primary, and still now, the big issue was the standards, whether the adoption of Common Core standards. And I think the legislature did the right thing. We had adopted our standards and were not supposed to review those for 5 to 7 years, so they called for an immediate review of the standards by South Carolina teachers. That is going on right now. They're just revealing their product, which is going to be reviewed by a couple other groups. The public will have a chance to give their comments. So all of that's going on, and the new state superintendent, that's something that needs to be settled immediately when we get into office. So that is still an issue, but it's certainly moved along, and I'm optimistic that we're going to have that settled. It's not fair to our teachers and students for this to be up in the air.
Do you support Common Core?
Well, you know, there were some good things about Common Core, but I do agree that Washington often oversteps its boundary, and there were some things that we were already hearing from teachers and from parents that needed to be changed. So I'm perfectly fine with this review. Now, I do insist that we've got to have high college and career standards, and that's what the whole issue is about, that we have to have college and career standards. So even if we don't, if ours are not necessarily exactly Common Core, if our universities approve them as college and career ready, we'll pass the mustard on it, and I think we can move ahead with it very well.
So, exactly, I'm not sure I understand what you're telling me. You are in favor of Common Core, or you're not in favor of it?
Well, I'm in favor of high college and career standards. I think the Common Core standards were fine, but and I could have supported them, but the issue, it brought great controversy in South Carolina. There were folks who did not like the fact that we were being forced into adopting certain principles. So, you know, I think the legislature did the right thing to have a review, and I think that our standards will come out very, very close to the same standards that are college and career ready. Those are Common Core and our college and career ready standards. And the U.S. Department of Education gives two pathways, one to adopt Common Core or one to write your own college and career ready standards and have them approved by your university. So what I meant there is that either way, if we do that, it will pass the standard of what the United States Department of Education has put forth.
Do you think we need a Department of Education? There's a lot of people and a lot of dollars up there.
In Washington?
Yeah, in Washington.
Well, you know, I think we could probably get by without it, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
There's some roles that it is playing now. Of course, you know, in special ed and some areas that are federal law that they enforce. But I do fully believe that it is a state's responsibility, and I'm a lot more concerned about what's going to go on in South Carolina and locally. Yeah, and just even another issue, Ann, that's going on is the teacher evaluation program. And here again, the U.S. Department of Education has set some standards that are awfully high. And I agree with what they want us to come up with, a teacher evaluation program that would include some measure of student progress. But the timeline that has been set forth and the recommended percentages, I'm having a lot of problems with that. So that's going to be another issue that I'll be looking at very carefully when I get elected.
So you think that the time is too short to be able to evaluate?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they wanted to, right now, the timeline, and we have requested and we've received a one-year waiver. But the timeline that was set up was that evaluation program had to go in this year, and when we don't even have our standards settled, don't have the assessment settled, and those test scores were going to be part of the teacher's evaluation. I think that you have to give teachers time to get the standards in place, to get the test in place. I think you have to train evaluators on what the new evaluation model is going to be, and have a year or two for teachers to get ready in order for it to be fair. So I think the timeline that the federal government set up is much too short, and if I'm elected, I'm going to be asking for additional waivers to push it back so that we'll make sure that when we do it, that it's done right and it's done fair and it gives us good information.
Sure. Now, one of the things that I am just, you know, I may be talking to the next superintendent of education is we need civics in our schools. Mm-hmm. We cannot move forward with government and understanding without a good understanding of civics. In a lot of cases, there's very little civics. I think it should be a requirement for graduation from high school.
Well, you know, I'll have to look, and I know that we have history courses required, but I agree with you. Young people need to understand the functioning of government. I've been real involved over my life in different programs, whether it's a program that we work with the schools, and that's Palmetto Girls State, Palmetto Boys State, where students go in and learn how government works over the summer. And I think not only learn how it works, but they get a greater appreciation for government and the responsibilities of voting. But we're hearing this more and more from business folks that our students, our graduates need to understand and be productive citizens. And I think that is the end goal. We want people to be successful, whether they go to a technical school, go to college, but they're also that they know how to be responsible citizens, participate in the voting process, and have a job and pay taxes so you and I can be taken care of when we get older, you know?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, Molly. I'm just going to keep working. I'll die and fall over with this mic in my hand.
right.
But, you know, I just think that, I think another aspect of it, it teaches you about the service to your country, too.
That's right.
You know, civics.
Absolutely.
Does. Yeah.
Absolutely. But we do have a lot of fine students. And I have to say this, you know, I think there are a lot of us who think back about school when we were in school and how it was and we enjoyed it. And many folks have not been back in school in a long time, and they have these images and they hear these things some of it's not true, and we just got a lot of fantastic schools. We've got a lot of fantastic students and teachers. So one of the things that I'm going to be doing as the next state superintendent is really encouraging folks to get out and go in and visit their schools and see what's going on. I think you'll be really proud.
Molly, it's hard to get into the schools anymore. I mean, you know, they don't just let anybody walk in anymore.
Right. And that's a two-way street. I understand what you're saying. And with security issues and all, you know, we do have to make sure that people check in and all. But I'm going to be encouraging educators and principals to have more opportunities for grandparents and for people just there in the community to come in and visit and see what's going on. I think it'd make people proud, and you know, some folks think that discipline is out of hand, and there may be a few isolated cases, but I am so impressed when I walk in the halls of schools and see what's going on in classes and see how students are engaged in their learning. We've got a lot to be proud of, and I want to be spotlighting that, and in those places where that doesn't exist, I want to help those folks get to that point, because you know, it's just really wonderful to see all the good things that are happening out there in schools.
Sure. There are a lot of good things happening in schools. But a couple of things that do come to mind is some of the mental health issues that our young people are dealing with. And it seems to me there should be something coming through the education department to deal with these. We've kind of put mental issues on let's medicate and move on.
Well, you're right, Ann, and that's true of our whole society.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of we tend to jump and try to treat the symptom, you know, or build walls and gates and want to put guns in the hands of everybody. But and same thing with schools. There are children that we're seeing now coming in younger and younger who have mental issues, and I will be working very closely with our mental health agencies, with DHEC, to. And we do have some districts already that are doing that, working very closely to have mental health counselors in schools. and to treat these problems before they become bigger issues. So that's one thing that I'm looking forward to working on as well, just a closer relationship with other agency services to make sure that we can provide those at schools for those children who need it.
Sure. Now, what about teachers' pay? This is a hot topic right here.
Yeah.
What about teachers' pay?
Well, I really would love to, and you know, I saw the governor's debate the other night, and one of the candidates said he's going to double every government employee in South Carolina's salary, double it.
And you said hallelujah?
Right. It sounds great. And I would love to say that about teacher salary. And, of course, we'll be working on it for any new dollars to try and promote our teacher salary. I think one area that we really need to focus on, though, is the starting salaries of teachers. Our Southeastern average is usually what we try to always be at with teacher salaries in South Carolina, and we've fallen a little bit behind on that, so we've got to really push to at least make sure that we're paying the same as our neighboring states and across the Southeast.
Is that a function of the House down there?
I think it's a function, you know, it's a responsibility of the state superintendent to go and be the bully pulpit and to make sure that this is at the top of the wish list and priority list, but it is responsibility of the state General Assembly to fund the major portion of the teacher salaries, and that's something that we don't want to happen. We don't want the burden to fall back on the local districts because they don't have a way to raise the revenue to do that. So yes, it has to come through the General Assembly. But I think that one of the areas that is doable, and there seems to be some interest gaining on this, is the starting salaries for teachers. That's where we're so low in our state, and we really got to try to bump those salaries up to encourage young people that when, you know, to go into teaching, and when they graduate, they have a lot of debt usually. So that's an area that I'm going to be working on to try and get those beginning salaries up for teachers in South Carolina.
Sure. Now, what about K-4? You know, there's a lot of conversation about everybody ought to be in all the little ones ought to be in K-4. Where do you fall on that?
Well, I think it's money well spent. It's some of the best money that we can spend on early childhood education. And we have to have high-quality programs. And my belief is this, that the state, it is our responsibility to fund K-4 for any child who is at risk, for sure. That's our first responsibility. And we're close to getting that done now. We do have some areas where we still need to increase the opportunity for K-4 for at-risk kids. Now, I think some folks talk about universal K-4, which to me means that everybody in the state, no matter whether your parents can pay for it or not, the state provides it. And that's another thing that would be a nice thing to do, but my first responsibility and my first wish will be that for those families who cannot afford it and for those children who are at risk, to make sure that we have high-quality programs for them. And then I'd like to work with the private child development centers and our school districts together to provide high-quality child development programs for 4K, whether it's in a private partnership or, you know, through the public schools. I'm real concerned. I'm hearing from some schools, districts, that they say even some of the money that has been appropriated for them for child development through the child development programs, that they've had to turn down the money because the regulations are so tight. So I think that's something that we need to look at, too, to make sure we want a safe environment and a nurturing educational environment for these children. But if the regulations are too tight and overregulated, we need to look at that, because it's just doesn't make common sense for the state to appropriate money for a program that's so worthwhile and then a school district not to be able to accept the money because they can't meet the regulation requirements.
Sure. Now, one more question, then I'm going to give you a couple minutes to tell people why they should vote for you. But school vouchers, you know, what do you think? Should we allow school vouchers, or does the public school reign supreme?
Right. Well, I'm a public school proponent, and I believe that we need to have as many choices as we possibly can and strong, good choices in the public school system. And we've come an awfully long way on now. with our charter programs and magnet programs, but particularly with the virtual programs that are available now through the public system. Every family in South Carolina has at least two choices, their traditional school, or they do have the choice of a South Carolina virtual school, which is a charter school and free tuition and run through the charter system. On vouchers, I'm very concerned that I think anytime government dollars, and I think when government dollars are sent out, that there's a high degree of accountability that has to be there. And I think my private school friends should have the right to be private, but I think they understand that once those dollars start flowing, that they have to give up some of their freedom, and they have to agree to accountability levels. And so far, that's not what they wanted. So I hesitate on the vouchers. We did pass a special ed scholarship program this year that works a little different, and those schools did agree to a review, and they also agreed to take a test and have that reporting. So, you know, I was okay with that. It's not a voucher. It's a scholarship tax credit program. But anything else, I'm going to be watching it very, very closely. And I just think that there, if you have to lose some level of freedom there to just do what you want, if the dollars flow in from the state.
So this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. So I guess technically you are saying that you are against school vouchers.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give Molly Spearman, who wants to be the next superintendent of education for the state of South Carolina, 2 minutes to tell people why they should vote for you.
Well, thanks, Ann. I've enjoyed being on with you. I grew up in Saluda, went to Lander right there, so I'm very familiar with all the folks here in the Greenwood area, and just thank them so much for the support they gave me back in the primary. I really feel that I'm prepared to do this job. My 18 years as a classroom teacher, principal, 4 terms in the state legislature. I worked on the education committees, Ways and Means Education Committee, and then worked at the Department of Education for 6 years, and for 10 years now I've been working with all the school principals and superintendents and their district leaders across the state. So I understand education. I have the trust built up with all the stakeholders, and I think we could hit the ground running on day one to really get some things done. I like change. I don't like change just for the sake of change, but I realize that we've got to continually improve our system. I think we have to concentrate more on personalized education, engaging students so that when they do graduate, they've got a pretty good idea of what they want to be and what they want to do.
Sure.
And it may be to go to Piedmont Tech, or it may be to go to Lander, whichever works best for them for the career that they choose. And we've got to give better guidance and support in K-12 systems so that families don't go into a lot of debt and then their student can't find a job. So I'll be working on that, and I'm just honored to serve and look forward to it, and hope folks will keep me in mind on Tuesday, and if I am elected, will keep me in your prayers and also keep giving me good information, because I want to work hard and do a good job.
Absolutely. Now, what is, you have a website, Facebook page?
I do, mollyspearman.com. Please go on there, and anything that you'd like to send me messages, send donations, we'll take those too.
Well, good luck, Molly. Thanks so much for calling us today.
Thanks, Ann. Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.